and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. As we studied last week, we began the fifth chapter of the book of James, and we noticed that the first six verses, James spent all of those six verses dealing with the subject of selfishness in relationship to those that were rich and were piling up the goods. And as you remember, in verse 2, he said, you're just piling them up and they're going to be corrupted. The moths are going to eat them. They're going to rust and so forth. Verse 4, he said, your selfishness has caused you to be guilty of hiring labor and yet not paying them for the work they have done. Verse 5, he says, as a matter of fact, your selfishness has drawn you in to the point that you're fattening up your soul to be slaughtered. And then in verse 6, he even says, what you have done is you've been guilty of bringing harm upon those that were innocent just because of your selfishness. Now, as I began to study these next few verses, I was very surprised that James moves immediately into the subject of patience. I had to think for a few minutes. James, how are you going to group the subject of selfishness directly relating it to the subject of patience? Notice after that in 6, he begins verse 7 with that one sentence. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. James, exactly what do you mean? You're telling them about their selfishness and then you say, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. We must realize this patience that James is dealing with here is not the same patience when you tell a child, now listen, we're going to go to the circus in 30 minutes. And the child is all excited and keeps asking when, how long, and you say, just be patient. Just wait for 30 minutes. Be patient. That's not the same kind of patience that James is speaking of here. Notice how James begins the book of James in the first chapter. You remember when we studied the first chapter, we looked quite a bit at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So instead of patience just being something where we just sit around and wait, James says patience is actually a work within itself. That's very important, that our faith has certain works in it. You remember in the second chapter, he said in verse 17 and 18, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So this evening, as we study these passages of patience, I hope we will realize that patience is actually a work. Now, it's not what we might think of as a really active work of righteousness, but yet at the same time, patience is a work of waiting upon the second coming of the Lord without giving in to Satan. Now, think on it. Doesn't that require faith? Waiting on the second coming of the Lord without giving in. So, James, now it makes a little bit of sense when you say, you that are suffering from selfishness, you that have piled up the riches, you that are suffering with this disease that's killing your soul, be patient. What is he saying? He's saying, don't fall into the temptations of Satan. He says, you wait on the second coming of the Lord with faithfulness, works of faith that keep you strong. So with that, we begin these few verses here about being patient. James, as he usually does, gives us a very powerful illustration. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rains. You know, there's perhaps no other few verses that have really meant so much to me about the subject of patience than these as I study over these. Think with me for just a few minutes about the patience that a farmer must have. One that goes out and once a year reaps the harvest. Once a year. I've heard my grandfather Shannon say many, many times, I never received a regular paycheck. Out of all the years he lived, he says Social Security was the first and the closest I ever got to receiving a regular paycheck. For farmers, it's once a year. That one time a year you sell the wheat, that's the paycheck. That one time a year you sell the swine, the cattle, that's the paycheck. James was right on target when he says, learn from the patience of the farmer. The patience requires him to wait for the perfect time to sow. The patience requires for him waiting on things that are out of his control, such as the early rains and the latter rains. The patience requires him, even as he's working, to be patient as he hoes and as he fights the thorns and the thistles and the weeds. Patience, even over things that are very discouraging. Now remember these things because we're going to come back and apply them to spiritual things. The patience when the things are discouraging that are out of his control. The patience of sowing a field and then days later it being washed away by flood and having to go back and sow again. The patience in having a crop that is about ready to harvest, but yet the winds blow it over and now it takes two or three times as long to harvest because it's on the ground. Yes, I think James could have not found a better illustration to illustrate how we should be long with our patience. Notice the way he brings this to the Christian life in verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You see how that relates to the farmer? Establish your heart. That's the planting. That's putting the seed in the ground. You put it there. You establish it. And you allow it to grow until the coming of the Lord. Not one time in there should we be giving up. Not one time is there where we can say, my patience is at end. I just can't work any longer. I'm weary in the well-doing. You know, there's times when it's out of our control, the discouragement is. But we as the farmer must continue if we're going to be successful. There's times when it seems like the reaping is so far off like it is for the farmer. But yet, we must be faithful. There's times when it seems like it's just not going the way it should go. But we should be faithful. This evening, let's be honest. The East Gadsden congregation is not everything I would like for it to be. Is it everything you would like for it to be? Oh, I doubt it. Not because God's plan is not perfect, but because the ones that make up the church is not perfect. But that does not give me room in the middle of being established in the coming of the Lord to give up. Oh, I'm not completely satisfied with all the activities we do with our youth. I look back sometime after we finish something and I think, oh, if we could do it just a little different, if it could be just a little better, if we could encourage them just a little more. But I shouldn't grow discouraged and quit in between that point of being established and the coming of the Lord. I'm not exactly satisfied with the way we encourage our young couples, our young married couples. We have so many young married couples now. But let's not grow discouraged and quit. I'm not exactly satisfied with the way we meet the needs of the elderly, of the senior citizens. We have many. But let's not grow discouraged and quit. You see, there are going to be times from the time you and I have become a Christian to the point of the second coming when we're going to look here in the East Gadsden congregation and we're going to say, Lord, why are these winds blowing so hard? But let's not quit. There's going to be times when it seems like that there's a flood coming through and that we're being destroyed, but let's not quit. There's going to be times when the sun's going to be shining and everything seems good, but let's not forget the Lord. James, what are you saying? He's saying, look at the husbandman. Look at the agriculturalist. He says, have that patience as he has. That patience that from the time the seed is put into the ground, to the time of the harvest, He doesn't give up. This evening, I hope that is our prayer. Every one of us. I hope every one of us pray and pray often that we'll never give up. I hope you'll pray for me. I'm praying for you. Let's be established and let's never give up. Let's have that patience that James speaks of. Notice what else he says in verse 9 about this patience. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We've seen the news reports, the times when hundreds, literally thousands of people stand at the doors of concerts waiting to enter in. And they grow impatient, and finally when the doors are open, they trample over and they kill those that were in the front. What is that? That's kind of what James was speaking of here. Standing around from the time we have become a Christian, waiting for the time of the second coming, and we grow impatient. And we begin to murmur with each other, and we begin to grudge each other. We begin to have less tolerance for each other. And James says, be mindful of that. Don't let that happen. And then, just a little friendly reminder, he says, remember, the judge, he's standing at the door watching. You know, the story is supposed to be true. Just a few years ago, there was a men's business meeting, and they were having problems at their men's business meeting. There were a few that were always cutting down others' ideas just because it was the other person's idea. So finally, a wise gentleman in the business meeting at the next one said, here's a chair that no one's going to sit in from now on. He said, every time we gather at this meeting, this chair is going to stay vacant. And we're going to say that the Lord is sitting in that chair. And he says, we're going to conduct this meeting as if the Lord was physically there in that chair. Now, the Lord's with us, isn't he? In a way, that's what James was saying. He says, even though you sometimes forget, the Lord is right there in your presence. He says, when you're standing around waiting, when you're murmuring with each other, you remember the Lord's in that chair. He's listening to you. And that Son of His that's going to judge us, He's there. And He's hearing it. So He says, be kind to one another. Don't grudge one another. Don't lose our patience with one another. In other words, build up our tolerance of each other. Notice what He says in 10. Another illustration that they will find great encouragement in this illustration. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Probably very few, if any of them in this day, would have belittled the prophets. They esteemed the prophets very highly. They loved and held dearly and did not want anyone to say anything against Moses, Elijah, Micah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Those are the men that were powerful in their eyes because they were long-suffering towards others and because they were faithful to the Lord, because they had the patience. And so here James says, you remember those prophets. Be like them. Find the characteristics they had of patience and learn from them. And then in verse 11, he closes the thoughts of patience with one that we probably have heard the expression over and over in our lifetime. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. You know, I didn't enjoy my fifth grade very much at school. But the one thing I do remember about fifth grade was my teacher always said to us when we got on her nerves, which was pretty often apparently, you children could ruin the patience of Job. In fifth grade, I didn't know exactly what she meant by we could ruin the patience of Job. But I've learned. It is amazing the patience that Job had. It is amazing that a man can lose so quickly everything that he has. It's amazing that a man can begin with so much, one of the richest men in his country, and in one day he lost all of his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his reputation, He had his wife to turn against him and tried to get him to turn against God. He had his friends to come there and to sit in silence. And finally, when they did speak after a few days, their words were, "Job, what did you do wrong? Confess it to us. We're your close friend. Tell us the great sin that you did." And the patience of Job remained strong. Brethren, let's all work on that kind of patience. The patience that when Satan continues to throw those temptations at us one by one, we stand strong. I don't know if I could lose my son, my cars, my house, my home. I don't know if I could bear my wife turning against me. I don't know if I could bear you coming to me and speaking evil of me and telling me that I've done some terrible wrong and then remain faithful. But I do know that's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm praying about. Let's all this day learn from the great encouragement that James gave us. The great encouragement there in the 5th chapter when he said, "You remember that husbandman. You remember the prophets. And you remember Job." This evening, where's your life? Have you remembered the Lord? Or have you not been faithful? You've not been patient. This evening, if you need to come back to the Lord, do so as we stand, as we sing.